Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I don't have anything to do with the wrestling or the dirty people that would listen to this. Mm. Edit this bit out, Tom.
The boyhood dream has come true.
All of you!
About to find out how ugly mankind can really be.
Myself and the clique are gonna dance all over your face. Talk about your Psalms, talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says I just whipped your ass.
Welcome everyone to the Gold Holly Classic Raw Review. Unloosens screw, lifts microphone. Screws screw in, steps back. As the other Goldaholic lads, Jackkins lifts microphone. Jackkins quietly screws microphone. Copying me.
Microphone screwed microphone.
As the other Goldaholic lads recover from a hellacious weekend on the wrestling front for all the right reasons. We are here via our Ica Pro powered DeLorean marching towards In Your House in 1996. And who be we? We're not in your house. I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter with our portfolio, Tom Campbell. And I am with the mulligan to my hair, the rambunctious Jackie Orlando, Jack Atkins from Goldaholic.com. Jackkins, hello.
Hello.
There he is. We're deep into the taping schedule the Classic Raw Review.
Yes, we are, because at this point in the real world, you're knackered and I'm on a different continent.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
God, think like you'll be in Canada now.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're in one piece.
Yeah.
I should be back in the office. Hopefully I wasn't sucked to death by guinea pigs in Cardiff.
Ooh.
One could hope. Hope you had a lovely time. I'll do some lines just to cover my back. It was great to see you in Cardiff. I'm sorry for that thing I probably did after beers. There you go. I think that covers anything that might happen in Cardiff.
I'll do some as well. You call this poutine? Ooh, Bret Hart would be shitting his knickers if he tasted this muck. Ooh, isn't Rick Martel underrated?
I was hoping you're going to go, because poutine, more like Mike shit.
Mike shit. His house burned down.
His house burned down.
Get them all in.
Let's get all the catchphrases in nice and early. Because there's no mailbag this week. Because basically, we did all the mailbag questions. Unless one has popped through in the last few moments. Which it hasn't, no. So we'll
kayfabe, make one up.
Okay. Dear Tom and Jackie Orlando.
Hello.
Hello, Mel. My name is Samantha. Yes, I'm a woman from off of a family. And I listen to the Raw podcast when I am bleeding my radiators on a Wednesday. Brackets. It's the showbiz life. LMAO. Close brackets. I have a question mainly for Jackie Orlando. Where did the name Jackie Orlando come from? Plus, who is your favourite from the new generation and why is it Leaf Cassidy? Thanks for everything, lads. Off to bleed a radiator and probably rub one out, whatever my name was at the start.
Well, thanks.
In Ohio.
Thanks, Samantha from Ohio. I should bleed my radiator soon, actually. That's good advice.
A bit too much information saying she's going to rub one out when she was done.
That's the Orlando effect.
Yeah, you do. It certainly is.
I do have thoughts on Leaf Cassidy, but we'll come to them in the show.
Well, we don't have to answer that email, but that is sometimes what the email, that is what the emails look like in my head.
Are you all right?
I'm fine. I'm having a lovely time. It's like I said, it's a busy week of taping. I'm trying to think of anything exciting that's happened since I last saw you. I went for beers with Adam Pacitti yesterday. That's quite nice.
Thanks for the invite, Adam.
And nice. It was a bit of a last minute.com. We'll pop and have one up the road. It was nice. And then afterwards, because we didn't have time to have many, we had like, and I went, I'm going to go. And I don't know who else does this. Do you ever have a solo pint? Oh, no, you don't drink, but do you ever have like a solo, like a dinner or like...
I'll do like a solo lunch.
A solo lunch.
Yeah, I enjoy that.
Yeah. It's quite empowering, isn't it?
It's a nice reset for the day. Have a sit down, clear everything, be like, right, I'm just here in the moment. Enjoying this plate of offal. And after this...
Plate of luncheon meat.
We start again.
Covered in pigeon beaks.
Oh, you fuck off.
You know, you pat yourself down with a serviette. You give your unmentionables a quick wash in the sink. Then you're off out the door.
That's exactly what... And that's how we do it whenever we go for a meal. It's quite empowering. Like we talked about this on other podcasts before, like going to the cinema on your own. Mm. I think it used to be a bad thing. The more I talk about it, the more people go, actually, I go to the cinema on my own. Like, and stuff.
Need to start doing it because Sean and I don't like the same things.
No. Alex and I are the same. There's two things that we don't land on.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I've negotiated for my birthday this year. She's going to actually sit down and watch Terminator 2 with me. Because every time she says, what should we watch? I'm just like, Terminator 2, you'll enjoy it. And she's like, fuck off. I was like, for my birthday, Terminator 2.
It's one of those special things that a partner will ask of his significant other. Hey, do my special thing for my birthday. On my birthday, I want you to do that special thing for me. Mm. I don't want to. Yeah, but it's my birthday, so you have to. What is it? Watch Terminator 2.
Ooh, Terminator 2.
And then you can role play, and one of you can be Sarah Connor, and one of you can be a Terminator. That's a lovely, sexy night in, that is.
As long as I can be Sarah Connor.
I would expect nothing less.
Let me.
There you go. Hello, I'm Terminator. Oh, excuse me, are you a woman from the future?
Yes.
Kick it off. That's my role playing.
I've been in a mental institution, and boy... Boy,
my arm's tired.
Ooh, better the devil, get guns, you know, and traumatise a family. Terminator 2.
One man movie.
I was amazed talking about going for a meal or a drink on your own. Coming into the office this morning. And,
I know what you're going to say.
Tom is usually, it's usually Tom and Aiden are the first thing. I'm usually... third or fourth, because you two come in. Aiden comes in for eight, you come in whenever. But I was actually in before you today, so Tom comes in, he's like, oh, better make myself a breakfast. And I walked over, and it was literally just a bowl full to the brim of broken biscuits and sugar.
It's like... In my defence, Your Honour, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, in my defence, right, there was some porridge underneath it.
3 oats worth of porridge.
I had what the Government Trading Standards Authority would determine as a portion of porridge that went with my broken biscuits and my sugar.
If you showed that to the Quaker Oat Man, he would not be able to comprehend it and he'd blow up.
He would quake in his boots.
But I just saw it and thought, fuck me. I even said to you, I was like, I'm going to have about 9 coffees before this podcast.
Do you want any porridge with your biscuits and sugar?
It was honestly...
I only added the peanut butter, yeah.
Imagine if Home Alone was realistic. And instead of Macaulay Culkin ordering himself a pizza and buying a new toothbrush, you just thought, fuck it, I'm having biscuits and sugar for a meal.
I'd like to meet the person that hasn't sometimes thought about crushing a digestive over their porridge. And there are two types of people in this world. People who crush digestives over porridge and liars.
I did have some ice cream last week and I did snap a chocolate hobnob onto it.
Well, there you go.
But I didn't claim it's breakfast. So I didn't have this bowl of ice cream and hobnob to be like, ooh, look at this bowl of milk I've got. It just happens to have...
this bowl of milk.
It just happens to have a chocolate biscuit and, ooh, the milk's frozen and turned into Kit Kat ice cream.
I would not have questioned it, my friend. I would not have questioned it.
Ooh, the perfect way to start a day.
I have...
I was jealous. That's what it was.
That's why I'm fat. I have sprinkled broken biscuits on pancakes before. There you go. I guess a nice
but
waffle.
That's a treat, or are you talking breakfast pancakes?
That's lunch.
No.
It went well with my pint of cream.
I was going to say, two cans of whipped cream for tea.
Fuck. It went well with my pint of cream and my bottle of squeezy cheese. I've said to Alex, like, when we're together and I'm cooking, like, I'm actually really good at cooking. I can make nice meals. But when I'm on my own, I eat like a child. Like, I will quite happily, if Alex is away for a weekend, I will happily have, like, smiley faces and turkey dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Quite happily put some peas on there to add to the veg.
The ones...
Cover them in biscuits.
Oh. Fucking tomato ketchup on your biscuits. Drowned. No, I'm the same, like... I cook myself a delicious breakfast every morning. We've gone over this, that I am somehow not egg-bound.
You are not egg-bound, surprisingly.
And in our old flat, we had a big kitchen, so I didn't mind cooking. Now we've got like a small galley one, so I'm just like to Sean. I was like, I don't want to cook in this. Can you make tea? But if I'm on my own, I'll be like, oh, have I got any fucking bird's eye frozen chicken char grills in the freezer and some oven chips? They are bobbins. They're rubbish. And I fucking love them. They're crap. Like, any time, it's like, oh, yeah, I've got, you know, some nice herbs and fresh meat and veg in the fridge. And then, you know, we've, of course, got 24 frozen fish fingers in case Jack's in on his own and needs a sandwich.
My dad likes cheap frozen burgers.
Mm.
That's his thing. Like, he doesn't like it when you go and they're, like, big, thick, like, proper homemade meaty ones. He likes Borten burgers. Where they're just like little frozen brown circles that you put on a pan for 10 minutes and go, there you go, that's nourishment.
That's like me with sausages. Like, I'll eat a good sausage. But if you said to me, do you want a six-pack of Richmond? I'd be like, fucking yeah, get some bangers there. Fantastic.
Did we talk about sausages the other week, you and I? Or was it with Sam Driver?
Maybe with Sam Driver. I found we were talking about sausages in the office because Aiden revealed that he doesn't like sausages.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
He's been cast out now.
Yeah. he lives on the street eating his pork chops.
Why do sausages have to be sausage-shaped?
Well, you can get round sausages, can't you?
You can, but they're kind of seen as, like, weird.
I've got some in the freezer.
I just... Oh, nice. Yeah. There was a place that used to do square sausages. I just wondered, like, why that is the accepted shape of a sausage. Like, why that is all right. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I say it like it's a problem. Like, there's enough fucking problems in the world right now. I'm not adding. But, like, why is that the accepted shape of a sausage?
It's just the way it's made, surely. Because, obviously, the sausage casing, it's a potential space. And when you fill it with sausage meat, you can only...
So it's the casing of the sausage.
Because if you had a wider casing, then you'd just have, like, a big, like, shot pot of sausage meat, which sounds delicious and also disgusting.
But you can shape it, like, you know how they do when they do glass blowing? And the glass blow blows, the glass blow blows. Where, like, you
have a raw sausage.
I want a glass blow raw sausage.
In the shape of a swan. A delicate swan sausage.
Yes! Yes!
Put a chip in its beak.
Cover it biscuits. Why wouldn't we want that? As a society, is it too gauche? Am I overstepping the mark with if you're a butcher listening today, tell us why.
This is like
you're so lazy.
This is like Michelin star stuff. Like Heston Blumenthal would be like, hey, do you know what? I'm gonna have a trapezoid sausage, but it's made out of like a dog kidney. Served with biscuits and foie gras.
Oh, fuck off.
200 quid.
Served with beaks of pigeons. Oh, fuck off. Rang drags made as a trapezoid sausage covered in pigeon beaks and encased with the hearts of hamsters. Oh, fuck off. Oh, no, fuck off.
Get a rat sweat on.
Miss Teats are popping. Now, yeah, okay, some food for thought for butchers. Thanks for listening to the Cold Classic Raw Review. Let's get into this week's episode. So 15th of April 1996 is where we am. Number one movie in the US is still Primal Fear. Mm. We talked about last week, starring him from Frasier. Number one movie in the UK is still Toy Story. Prodigy is still twisting the Firestarter at number one in the UK music charts, and Celine Dion still shit in the bed, number one in the US charts.
All quiet on the Western Front.
Other bits of news worth noting. The 4,000th episode of Coronation Street aired on this day, on this day in the UK on ITV.
Did it probably involve Ken Barlow and Mike Baldwin having a fight?
You know what? I looked it up, and the 4,000th episode of Coronation Street sounds pretty tame. I thought it would all kick off.
Yeah.
For example, in the episode, Alec tells Vicky that he'll move out to a 5-star hotel. Judy is furious when Gary pays the horse's feeding bill with their holiday money, rightly so. Ashley and Kelly arrange to have a date in the Rovers, both terribly shy and actually asking the other out. Bless, isn't it adorable?
Ashley Peacock.
I know, right? Don and Josie are alarmed when Kevin tells them the garage compressor is broken and it'll cost £5,000 for a new one. Happy 4,000th episode, Coronation Street. I thought there'd be like a big fire or something, or a tram crash.
That's more Emmerdale's thing, isn't it?
Corey did a tram crash.
Oh, someone got run out. The tram
came off the tracks.
Yeah.
Right into the street.
Yeah.
Blew everybody up. They love it. It's a nice hard reset for when new writers come in.
Because Emmerdale did the plane crash, didn't they?
Emmerdale did the plane crash.
Brookside did the armed siege. Just like the Scouse coke dealers turned up and like, who wants a slapping?
EastEnders did. They've done a few hard. They've done a fire, I'm sure. Fire in the pub.
EDL set the pub on fire.
EDL set the pub on fire. Grant Phil Mitchell set the pub on fire. Hilarious results. Well done, Corey. Still going strong. Looking forward to starting the Cultaholic Classic Coronation Street review.
Oh, God.
Madonna, the day after this episode of Raw airs, announces that she is 4 months pregnant by Carlos Leon, her then boyfriend and trainer. So Madonna's going to be a mam.
Will this be Lords?
Yes.
Lords.
And she'll go on to sing songs. That's Lord, sorry. On the 18th of April, the ITC confirms the awarding of a television broadcasting license to the Channel 5 Broadcasting Limited Corporation.
Oh, God. Yeah, they were exciting times, weren't they?
50% of its programming must be original, while there are quotas for the amount of public service programming that must also be aired. So Channel 5 is coming! We get a fifth channel!
I vividly remember the first day with Spice Girls kicking it off.
Yeah, that little video from the Spice Girls, didn't they? Welcome to Channel 5. Did they play Family Affairs on the first day?
It's probably Family Affairs. They had... At the beginning of Channel 5, they had this like game show every day that I think, who hosted it? Some fucker did, which was quite good. And they had Family Affairs, and then on Friday night, Bit of Blue.
It was a bit blue, wasn't it? It was a bit naughty.
Yeah.
Channel 5
they
first
had Four
day.
Boyard, was that Channel 4?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure.
Couldn't tell you the last time I watched Channel 5, to be honest.
It could have been. I just want to find what was on the first day, but it's not telling me here. The launch, the channel's launch on the 30th of March. It's not coming out for another year yet. Mm. So we'll talk about it next year. It did feature Spice Girls singing 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, originally a Mountford Man hit.
Yeah.
And they sang it as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, mixing it up. Tim Vine and Julia Bradbury were the hosts for the first day.
Yeah. I think it was Tim Vine who was on this quiz show that we used to watch.
Yeah. So This Is 5 was at 6 o'clock. Family Affairs at 6:30. Two Little Boys at 7. Just weird. A comedy called Hospital with an exclamation mark.
Bet that was zany.
Yeah, wacky and or zany. Beyond Fear was at 9 o'clock. 10:30 had the Jack Doherty show.
I remember that.
A weekly chat show, as we talked about the other day. We just never really hit the ground running with those late night chat shows like they do off of America. Comedy Store special at 10 past 11. Turnstile at 11:40.
What, the band?
Apparently. Live and Dangerous at midnight. This might have been where it went a bit blue.
Sounds sexy.
And then that was the end of programming for the first name. So there you go. So that was Channel 5. It's got that. We'll talk more about that next year.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. The revival of Stephen Sondheim's musical comedy, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, opened at St. James Theatre in New York, starring Nathan Lane. Oh. Like Nathan Lane, he's the guy from The Birdcage. And he's played a blinder in Only Murders in the Building on Disney Plus. Last episode of it I'm going to watch later.
I've still not got around.
Ooh, it's very good. Steve Martin's in it. It's very good.
I've been finally watching Lord of the Rings. That's been me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I watched them when they came out and hated them and thought it's been 20 years. Better give them another chance.
And how are you finding them this time round?
Halfway through the Fellowship of the Ring, it's... Aiden was saying to me, oh, have you got the super duper spanky wanky 7-hour version? I was like, well, no. I was like, this, you know, I'm gauging to see whether I'm into it. I'm not going to spend 7 hours. So the regular editions, the graphics have aged, which is why you should use physical effects and not CGI.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the Hobbits are shit, but it's a good, yeah, it's a bit fun.
There was a thing I read about Ian McKellen, like having a real, he had what they call, was it green screen fever?
On The Hobbit, wasn't it?
Yeah. On The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Where, like, you're constantly acting to a green screen and it sends you a little bit loopy.
Yeah, because he's on his own. He's acting to no one. He's got no one to bounce off and there's no set built around him.
Yeah. So he just really struggled with it. So
because he was like, this is not why I became an actor. He's like, yeah, Peter Jackson. He used to be really good at physical effects. Then he became lazy.
He just got lazy just pumping out films.
Lazy. He was like, well,
at least 3 every 5 years.
Draw a tree. 20 million quid.
It's true. Barbie fashion designer for Windows is the big video game release this week. Barbie fashion designer. It's a dress-up computer game where you dress Barbie in different styles and outfits. Then you can print off your designs and create clothing for your real-world Barbie dolls with them. So presumably, there's a whole bunch of Barbie dolls around the UK that have got really shit pieces of paper stuck to them. What mum, I designed an outfit for Barbie.
I saw a tweet recently, and I think it was from one of the Barbie games, and someone just went, the music on this Barbie game should not go so hard. And it's just a piece of... just amazing house music.
What game was it?
I'll find out for you.
Find out. Alex always told me that the game that resonates with her as a kid was Barbie Riding School.
Yeah.
Where you would like trot around as a custom made horse, which is part of the reason why she enjoys Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Red Dead Redemption, because there is basically the Barbie Horse Riding Club engine within it.
Oh, right. So
kind of. Obviously, it's more advanced. You ride around on horses, basically.
So she's not killing things, she's just riding horses.
She likes riding horses.
This is from Barbie Beauty Boutique, and it's just...
Oh, yeah.
It's like French house.
Yeah. Who wrote that and just went, I'm just going to go mental on this. Sod it.
It does sound like a, like Daft Punk just went, sell it to Barbie.
Yeah, go on then. Barbie, 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 come on, Barbie, let's go party.
Ah, stopped because I was shaking my phone too much.
The party stopped. Why does your phone stop when you shake it too much?
Because I turned it round and my Twitter app's going a bit mad.
You get the gist. It was too much of a banger for Barbie.
It was too much of a banger for Barbie.
Anyway, so those are some of the real world nonsenses. What's happening in wrestling, Jack Atkins?
Oh, well, we've got...
Fuck all.
No, we've got some bits. We've got to start on a heavy note, though. So this is from the Wrestling Observer newsletter dated April 22nd, 1996. Brian Pillman's been in a car crash. It's so Brian Pillman was thrown 40 feet out of, as Dave puts, the open-air military vehicle he was driving on April 15th. And at press time was hospitalized in Cincinnati with multiple fractures and lacerations. Pillman, at 33, ran off the road on Kentucky Route 338 and struck a tree stump, then went across the road into a field where his van overturned and he was thrown 40 foot from the vehicle. According to witnesses, they estimated he was driving 60 to 70 in a 45 zone. He was listed in critical condition on the 16th, but it was said to not be life-threatening and there was no speculation about the status of his wrestling career.
So, now, there was speculation at this point that he was WWF bound that we've not really touched upon.
No, it's
because it's kind of flown under the radar.
Because Dave still doesn't really know what's going on, but is acting like he does. It's like, they're trying to play WCW. WCW obviously still think they've got Brian Pillman and Hogan wants to squash him because Hogan's feeling threatened by everyone. ECW are trying to get him in a match with Shane Douglas, but whether it's a shoot or whether it's a work, things are going weird there because he's the loose cannon, but he's it's a bad crash, this, and we know with hindsight it's one of the things when talking about Pillman's career, it's like one of the chapters of his career, the bad crash. So
yeah,
that has happened this week.
So that changes, like, that changes his in-ring career forever.
Yeah, he's no longer Flying Brian after this.
He can't be Flying Brian after this. And kind of what we get, though, is a Brian Pillman that is so strong character-wise that you almost don't realise that in-ring he's nowhere near the pace that he was after this crash.
Yeah, because thinking about the run he's going to have, like a 35-year-old, if he was in tip-top condition, a 35-year-old healthy Brian Pillman as the loose cannon. Would have been incredible.
Yes, it would have been bloody incredible. But we'll keep tabs on him because there's plenty to say about him.
Mm. So last week, we had a very good episode of Monday Night Raw.
We did.
And Vince McMahon is very happy. It drew a 4.7 rating. It was unopposed. And this amounts to about 3.05 million homes. The second largest audience from start to finish on average ever to watch a pro wrestling show in the history of cable, trailing only the 1988 Royal Rumble.
Wow.
So,
absolutely smashed it.
Yeah, but Dave's saying, going on a post during a time when wrestling's on a hot streak. Pff, mate, we've not even begun to get fucking hot. Mm-hmm. Previous unopposed positions at 3.6s and 3.7s for WF and WCW. And he reckons the debut of Warrior that put the show over the top. Because people will be tuning in, being like, Warrior, fuck it, yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. I want to see him.
And he's saying that only a small percentage of fans only actually order the pay-per-view, so more people, it would be their first chance to see Warrior rather than seeing him squash Helmsley. So it did very fucking well.
And obviously with no Nitro as well.
Yeah.
And it shows you there's still wrestling fans out there, and they picked a great night just to throw everything at it.
Yeah.
to try and convert some of those WCW fans to WWF fans.
Yeah.
Starting 5 minutes early last week as well, also a blinder.
So, yeah, so Vince is going to be laughing all the way to the bank.
And let's see if this keeps up, though.
Yeah. Well, currently, WWF are on tour in Germany. It's going well, selling out. I looked at some of the cards, and the thing that stuck out was how they're using Steve Austin. So on the tour, he's beaten Savio, a DQ loss to Ahmed to keep him both strong, so he must have just beat down Ahmed. And he's also been wrestling Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. So even though he's a good hand in the mid-card, they must be thinking, let's put him in with Bret and Shawn, see how he does.
Maybe he's more than just a good hand in the mid-card.
What's Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Yeah.
Million-dollar champion.
I know. It's an idea that is farcical, that he could be more than just a good hand in the mid-card. You know what? We're in Germany. No one's watching in Germany.
He should be doing jobs to the rambunctious Jackie Orlando.
I think everybody should be doing jobs to the rambunctious Jackie Orlando. I'm going to pull up one of their cards from Germany.
We'll pull it up.
I'll pull you up in a minute.
Pull up the card, baby.
Because what I love about looking at these cards from these times is it gives you an idea of where the company is going. Because they're using it as a little chance to test the waters on what they could potentially have as top liners and stuff like that. It's also interesting. I know with cagematch.net, and thank you, cagematch.net, I'm pretty sure they are based in Germany.
They are, yeah.
Because I typed in WWF and events in Germany, and only four came up. So I typed in Deutschland, and there's hundreds now. I've broke the system! The WWF Champions Tour, on this night when Raw was aired, they were in Oldenburg in Deutschland.
Deutschland.
Yes, they were to 5,500 people. Strong crowds all the way around. Yeah. So, I mean, take a look at this. Take a look at the card for this particular night and compare it to another one. Six-man tag opened the night. Duke Drosy and the Bushwhackers beating Isaac Yankum, Leaf Cassidy and the 1-2-3 Kid. No Marty Jannetty.
Mm. But 1-2-3 Kid's on the tour.
Yeah, but then so is a few other
persona non grata.
Justin Bradshaw's beating Savio Vega.
Wonder what will happen with that.
Keep an eye on the hawk. Owen Hart beats Jake Roberts in a one-on-one match. Ahmed Johnson beats Steve Austin by DQ. Yeah, keep them strong. Body Donners beating the Godwins for the tag titles. Later in the night, Razor Ramon beats the 1-2-3 Kid.
Yeah.
The Kid comes back out, gives it some socks, and then Ramon beats him. Now, is this because was Goldust taken off the tour?
Yes.
I didn't think he was injured.
He does. We got a little bit after this saying about, yeah.
Yeah, so therefore they're just sort of swapping things around a little bit. Bret Hart beats Triple H.
Yeah.
Beats Hunter Helmsley. So Bret's still wrestling. The Undertaker beats Diesel in a WrestleMania rematch. And then top of the show, Shawn Michaels beats the Bulldog.
Main event man. I'm happy to be main event man.
That's a decent card, though. That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then the following night, they just sort of move a few of the people around. Austin beating Vega this time. Jake Roberts beating Isaac Yankum this time. Shawn Michaels headlining against Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Mm.
As I said last week, that should have been the match
Yeah.
that started Shawn Michaels' title run. That should have been the one, instead of Jerry Lawler,
It should have been Helmsley. Mm. I'm just saying it should have been Helmsley. And then for the rest of the tour, like you say, Austin put in there against Bret Hart. Austin put in there against Shawn Michaels. And Austin put in there a few times against like some other sort of relatively noteworthy people.
Yeah.
Like they're giving him a bit of a run out. In fact, he headlined on the 20th in Bayern. In front of 4,000 people, he headlined with Shawn Michaels in a WWE title match.
Exactly, yeah.
Good hand on the main event. What a wild idea.
Shawn Michaels versus Austin for the title. That's a pipe dream.
That's a silly idea.
Good hand.
Good hand in the mid-card. Stay where you belong.
So, a tidbit from ECW.
Tidbit.
So, on April 13th at the Lost Battalion Hall in Queens, Damien Stone and JT Smith defeated Bubba Ray Dudley and Big Dick Dudley via DQ. When a new Dudley brother turned up, Devon Dudley. So, Devon get the DQ, it seems. So, Devon Dudley as
Devon get the hello.
So this will change the Dudley family because at this point it was just a bloated kind of mid card comedic.
Name as many of them as you can.
Bubba Ray Dudley.
Ding.
Devon Dudley.
Ding.
Big Dick Dudley.
Ding.
Spike Dudley.
Ding.
Dudley Dudley.
Ding.
Chubby Dudley.
Ding.
Sand Guy Dudley.
Ding.
Dances with Dudley.
Ding.
Joel Gertner was an associate.
Ding.
Big Daddy Dudley, who you never see.
Ding.
Luke Dudley.
Ding.
And Butch Dudley.
Ding.
And I think there's some more, but...
There's loads of others. Yeah, I think but those are the main ones. So yeah. Well done. Good shout.
As you so like we often say, both... on the podcast and off the podcast, one of the joys of doing this is just going back and being like, oh, look at that date in history. Like when Craig Johnson wrestled for...
Yeah. His name's Dwayne or Craig. Something anyway, like, yeah. He might be all right.
Yeah. Some WCW news. There is talk of Nitro going to 2 hours every Monday
morning.
Yeah.
Don't do it!
Yeah.
He's taking long enough as it is!
So the idea behind it, behind your favourite show of 1996... TNT would increase its weekly payment to WCW for the second hour, which would make WCW even more profitable. And with the added money, they can acquire even more talent. It would also give them a one-hour jump on the WWF, since the hour would be in place of Thunder in Paradise. I can't believe Thunder in Paradise didn't work.
Thunder in Paradise.
But I like this last line. Even if 2 hours is overexposure from a wrestling standpoint, from a TNT standpoint, an hour of Nitro would do double the ratings of Thunder in Paradise, but he's just put Thunder. Lanny Poffo is pretty much a sure thing to come in with a gorgeous George gimmick to WCW, which I thought was interesting because obviously Lanny Poffo's brother, Randall Poffo, Randy Savage, who owns the rights to the Gorgeous George gimmick.
Mm, we would see a Gorgeous George.
And she
as a
was
lady.
Fucking gorgeous.
She was indeed a George.
It wasn't just a clever name.
Wasn't just a clever name. She like definitely was a George.
Like the shitty Beatles. Eric Bischoff has been firing back at Vince McMahon. He made a number of statements and interviews in the Miami Herald and the Charleston Post-Courier over the past week. Like Vince, he seems to be working some sort of storyline on his own. He ripped Kevin Nash, saying reports of a $700,000 3-year deal aren't true. Brackets. Nash is actually telling everyone the 3-year deal is for $780,000 a year. Bischoff said he had made no deal with Nash. Brackets. Nash has a deal with WCW, so why he said that is confusing.
He's coming in.
And Bischoff also said Nash has always had a big mouth and isn't afraid to talk before he thinks. He largely praised Brian Pillman, saying he's very talented, but said the reason Pillman has become a hot commodity was due to people like himself, Kevin Sullivan and Arn Anderson.
Mm.
He also Bischoff also claimed Savage and Hogan they're just not bothered about the billionaire Ted skits. And Dave's put, I wonder if anyone believes that. They were talking legal action at one point, and now Hogan has to beat up on 8 or 9 guys at a time because he's been driven so completely out of his mind at the same time those skits started running. When asked about giving away Raw results on the air, Bischoff just said, enjoy it. Right, so...
He does, to be fair.
Couple of little bits from WWF.
Oh, go for it.
Razor Ramon and Diesel both finish up on May 19th.
Oh, that's why Kane was sad.
Yeah.
Because that many heads start being Diesel.
Yeah, he was like, oh, great. I've got to be Diesel now and look a bit better in the gimmick than Nash did at times.
He did lean into it a lot more, didn't he?
Yeah. But even though, like, obviously Nash is cooler, Glenn Jacobs in his prime was a fucking jack, dude.
He was jacked.
Rick Bogner as Razor wasn't as good. Oh. So... Dave believes after the pay-per-view and TV tapings, Ramon and Diesel are only going to work the Baltimore, Philadelphia, and MSG house show run from May 17th to May 19th. And that's it. There is no truth to any rumors that Razor Ramon wanted to stay and was turned down.
So he definitely wants to go.
Yeah. And he's leaving after May 19th. As we alluded to before, on April 13th in Dusseldorf, Goldust blew out his knee against Razor Ramon and missed the April 14th show. So they gave Ramon a win over 1-2-3 Kid, Dave put, which I guess shows how far Kid's stock has fallen when they won't even give him a win over the guy who is leaving.
Because if you missed it, the other week we talked about sort of Ramon's place in the company, and we'll talk about it more in a little bit. Razor Ramon is persona non grata because he's on the way out.
Yeah.
So he's on this German house show loop just losing to Goldust every night.
Yeah.
But now, obviously, Goldust is out, so he might pick up a few W's.
Yokozuna will return on May 17th. He's currently at a dietary clinic at Duke University. I hope it works out for him.
I'm sure it'll be fine. And he won't sneak out for chicken on an evening.
Billy Gunn returns in mid-May after being out the past few months after neck surgery. Perfect should be back soon, probably to feud with Shawn Michaels later this year.
Well, he's back in terms of...
On commentary,
on comms, yeah. But back in the ring, though, is interesting because I know that this might be something they go back and forth on because of his Lloyd's payout.
Yeah.
So this was something this was kind of before the Classic Review started, but a lot of wrestlers got these insurance deals with Lloyd's of London that when they got injured, they would be paid out for the rest of their days,
yeah.
Providing they stayed retired. And if they came out of retirement, then all of that is void, which is why Bret Hart was so very reluctant to do anything in ring because he was getting paid wonderfully by Lloyd's of London, as was Mr. Perfect.
And Rick Rude, I think they were the
Rick
three.
Rude was the other as well, wasn't he? Did Mick Foley do it as well?
I'm not sure about Foley.
And Foley mentions it in his book.
Because I know that Bret had to jump through hoops to get his.
Literally, Lloyd's were really weird. They were next to a circus.
Yeah. They were like, go on.
Go on, Bret.
Go on, you bastard.
No, I can't. I'm injured.
Right the wall of death. Go on.
I'm injured, like, hey.
Yeah, because Rude and Perfect had basically taken them the cleaners. They were saying to Bret, like, are you injured? He's like, I'm fucked. He turned to David. I'm fucked, man. So, Perfect, apparently... scheduled to come back to feud with Shawn Michaels. Mm. We'd seen the genesis of that last week, the genesis of McGillicuddy. So,
Nice. Mm. I don't mind if it's Perfect coming back at like top speed because that's a good opponent for Shawn. That's like a veteran opponent that Shawn can match up to and pick up a win over that really sort of solidifies who he is.
Yeah, credible wrestler as well. Mm. Pat Patterson will be moving back to Connecticut in May. WWF sources say he won't be going back to work with the WWF. Oh, no. He was just simply a guest at WrestleMania.
Ah, so he's still done with the company for now. That'll change.
Mm. And this one made me laugh as well because, you know, very prescient from Dave here. WWF Raw magazine had an article ripping WCW written by Vince Russo. It was basic childish writing with nothing of substance. And
see you soon.
One last tidbit. Remember... a while back now that Antonio Inoki was trying to get all the federations together to run a peace show.
Yeah.
So get this.
That's going well, right?
Get
that's
this definitely for happening. One of the matches, right? Guess who's eating the loss in this tag match? Antonio Inoki and Dan the Beast 7 versus Yoshiaki Fujiwara and Sergeant Craig Pittman.
Pittman's getting pinned, isn't he?
Do you reckon? Not sure, you know.
Ooh,
not sure. Yeah, fucking hell. I was pissing myself when I saw that. I was like, that's a mad one, being like, oh, Pittman shared a ring with Inoki, Severn, and Fujiwara, but also clearly in there just to get battered.
Is it just so like he can be the fall guy? Because like you could have picked anyone else that wouldn't have looked as out of place as Sergeant Pitbull Pittman.
Yeah, who... some point, I don't know if it's happened. No, it'll be in the future, I think, in our timeline, when he's trying to get Jimmy Hart to take him as a manager. And
That's happened already.
Look at you. Now look at Lex and just laughs at him and he walks off all upset.
He spent weeks going to different people, going, you'll be my manager. And then going, no, mate, he's shit. And then him walking off looking sad.
I said, have a good day. For a car.
So that's all the news this week.
Oh, Pittman, bless you, mate.
Mm.
I like to think he pinned Inoki.
Good payday, though.
Fucking great payday.
Yeah.
Let's go through Monday night. Out of the 15th of April, 1996. We will see behind-the-scenes footage of Bret from WrestleMania 12. He'll also break his silence during a live event tour in Germany. They have a special interview they did with him in Bonn. Could we be saying bon voyage to Bret Hart?
What a pro.
His comments are covered up tonight. Also tonight, we will hear from Vader. We will see Savio Vega challenge Goldust for the Intercontinental title. And Stone Cold Steve Austin is in action against Bart Gunn. Some good hands in the mid-card there. We go to our opening match. It is Leaf Cassidy, still sans Marty Jannetty. Do we know what happened? Is he just injured?
Well, he's there at ringside, isn't he? But
was he?
He does. He comes out.
Of course he was. I'm being a complete... I've even got it in my notes here. Of course he was. Mero, I watched it 2 days ago. My head's gone. Mero is accompanied by leather-clad Sable and a prototype version of Sable's music. It's not quite the finish because it hasn't got that... Ow! Hasn't got any of that in there yet.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Imagine if the music had just been, instead of the... Ow! It was Vince McMahon going... Wow!
Wow. That's basically Sable's gimmick, was just Vince going, she's so beautiful, I wanna touch her ass.
I wanna fuck her. That was Vince's storyline with Sable. Picture in picture reminds us of what's happened with Hunter and Miro lately, because that's the storyline that is still bubbling away. Sign in the crowd that says, Leaf Cassidy, WWF champion in 7 years. I looked on Cage Match to see where Leaf Cassidy would be on the 15th of April in 2003. He was in a tag match, losing effort, teaming with Maven. But in February of that same B, Al Snow was in a battle royal to determine who'd face Triple H for the world title at WrestleMania. So he was nearly there. He was in a battle royal.
Yeah.
Okay, that counts.
Yeah.
That counts.
He was in the title scene.
Yeah. He was in the title scene. He was one match away from facing Triple H at WrestleMania, and that is not a lie. Leaf Cassidy flare flips over the top rope.
Perfectly.
Perfectly as well, as Mero gets a strong start. Leaf lands on his feet, blows a raspberry at Mark Mero, so Mero just clocks him. It was a good little bit. Cassidy and Mero chase each other around the ring, with Lawler comparing it to the Boston Marathon, which was the 100th Boston Marathon had taken place. Shenanigans from Jannetty. There he is there, Tom. You can't put Cassidy in charge. Go have more biscuit porridge, you weirdo. back from break in time to see Cassidy hitting the bad day on Mero.
It was the bad day.
Okay.
Because I've got bad mood / bad day because I didn't actually look it up.
I thought I came in last week and when it was the bad mood and you went, oh, it might have been the bad day.
We didn't know which one. We just knew there was.
I'm going to look it up now.
He's looking it up.
I'm looking it up now, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny B. Bad. Bad mood. Which is the bad mood? Which is the bad day? Right. Okay. Johnny B. Bad versus Eddie Guerrero. It's throw me here. Oh, help YouTube by answering one question. No. I refuse to. So Johnny versus Eddie. I'm watching a match from Nitro. I'm going to see if I can find if he does. Yes, I found a bit where he does. But an advert has played telling me to buy Ant Middleton's audiobook, The Fear Bubble.
Everyone needs to read that. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, Granny, I've got the job. Runs in the family. There you go. Bad mood.
It's bad mood.
It's the bad mood. He hits the bad mood. So Leaf Cassidy hits the Granny, I got the job on to Johnny B. Bad, now known as Mark Mero. Jenny Jannetty batters Mero when the ref's not looking. So Mero is on the back foot against Leaf now. Mero tries to break the full Nelson. Eventually, he does with a head scissors. He lands a gorgeous top rope sunset flip and chalks up another W in the WWF.
Yeah.
What do you reckon to the opener?
Decent. For Mark Mero's second Raw show, and I think Leaf Cassidy got a little too much offense in. But they worked really well together. I really like to answer Samantha's email from the beginning.
Oh yeah,
I'm really liking this Leaf Cassidy gimmick. He's playing it well, and Vince keeps going on the commentary saying, "Oh, he's such a dork," and he is.
He does that fun little dance, which is like a running version of Adam Pacitti's Spunky Cock Dance.
Yeah.
So there's something for you to try at home.
They seem to like him, don't they?
Yeah, because obviously, spoilers, at some point, they'll be like, right, we'll send you to ECW for a bit more seasoning. And because Paul Heyman's writing the characters, he's saying, yeah, rather than having you be a 70s throwback, how about you just be a mental fella with who talks to a head and you come to the ring to the Prodigy? And everyone just went, that's fucking mint.
Was it a case of the polystyrene head thing? We'll talk about it more close to the time. It was just a prop that was there on the day, wasn't it? It was just sort of found.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a thing that him and Foley did. Because obviously Foley rips snow all the time because they were travel buddies. But it was stuff just like, I think Foley originally did it, or Snow did it on one of the drives where he was pretending that like his lunch was his girlfriend and he was talking to his sandwich and saying, oh, whatever. And he thought, oh, actually, like all wrestlers do, like, oh, I could turn this into a gimmick. Turned it into head, started blaming all his feelings on the head. And then Paul Heyman just went, I'm going to buy a load of man. I think there was a load of polystyrene heads in the back of the bingo hall and they just went, fuck it, we'll get them, put them in the crowd. And the visual of it is fucking
is that
superb.
One pay-per-view that was headlined by Shane Douglas versus Al Snow for the title and had the full Prodigy entrance with all those polystyrene heads and the neon lighting. Oh, it's great.
It is fantastic.
Great. Paul Heyman, just he can make fucking chicken salad out of chicken shit, really, can't he? Like, accentuate the positives, hide the negatives. Yeah. It's dead easy.
As long as there's chicken in there, it's still edible.
Exactly.
But as for this match, Mark Merry looks really good. The Sable Charm offensive has started. And knowing how it gets, it's annoying me.
Why?
I was never a big Sable fan. I find her a bit of a charisma vacuum. I know she gets really over. But basically in this, like, Vince is basically on commentary saying, oh, she's gorgeous, she's fit. He goes,
he's fit.
He says she's possibly the classiest lady we've ever had in the WWF. I was like, did you forget about like Miss Elizabeth?
No, he hasn't.
Oh, he hasn't. He's erased Miss Elizabeth.
Because Miss Elizabeth by this point has debuted on Nitro.
Yeah, of course. So he keeps saying she's classy and it's like, not really. And Lawler just keeps saying, oh, shame about her face. It's like, that's a bit mean. She did just always look pissed off though. She had a face that was just like, she's just eating a really tart lemon. And she's like,
Yeah, she always, I agree that she was a bit of a charisma vacuum.
Yeah. Gets massively over though. Yeah. You can't fault her. But
But you follow the money.
Yeah, of course. But apart from that, fine match.
Diesel is on the blower from Germany. A phone call at this point would have probably cost about £25. I like to think that he went to a shop around the corner beforehand and bought something like Deutsche Phonen, which is a little card where you scratch the number off. And then he picked up the phone and then he dialed the number on it and they go, please put in your three-digit number. Please put in your 12-digit number. Please put in the region you'd like to call and the country. Please put in the number. Not recognised. Please hang up and try again. So that about four times.
Yeah, massive Kevin Nash in a tiny German phone box. Hand too big for the keypad. Wearing his diesel glove.
That was the dirty reality. Not so much the diesel glove, but that was the dirty reality of making international phone calls when we were younger.
Yeah.
You youngins don't. Like, nowadays, I just use my phone like normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Get on Wi-Fi for free.
Both excited and annoyed the fact that in the Maldives I'll be able to use my phone.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to. No. Go away, everybody. Leave me alone. I don't want access to everything all the time.
I say this, though. If I find out from secondhand sources that you go on Slack just once, I will come to the Maldives.
I'm deleting the app.
Good. Because I was going to say, I'll bury your phone like a dog.
I'm deleting the app. I want nothing to do with the wrestling. Diesel is on the blower from Germany. I don't have anything to do with the wrestling or the dirty people that would listen to this. Mm. Edit this bit out, Tom.
You're all SOBs.
You're all SOBs.
Keep telling us we're good and sending us money, you SOBs.
Please do. I miss you so much now I'm away. Send us an email. I don't know why I'm a bit cunty. Don't, it's fine. I love you, but I am on my holiday. Leave me alone. So Diesel's on the phone from Germany. He's explaining his actions again from Madison Square Garden. He had a perfectly good excuse last week.
Yeah.
I was putting some vertebrae back in for Shawn Michaels. You're welcome. He says Shawn Michaels actually needed to be taught a lesson. And he's added a no-holds-barred provision to their match at In Your House. Shawn, who was very cross about being beaten up last week, accepted it. And now he's said it.
Now it's law. Diesel calls himself the smartest man in the business and said nobody can beat him in a no-holds-barred match.
Fair.
Don't know if they can they not.
I don't know.
We'll find out, won't we?
That's a Sushi Onita versus Diesel. Let's go.
Oh, yes! Do it, you cowards. Yes, that's our main event for In Your House in a couple of weeks' time. It's a phenomenal main event.
I've never seen it.
Oh, they're great together. Oh,
really?
I know, right?
They're looking out for each other, really.
Shock.
Yeah.
Horror drama. They have a banger. Bart Gunn up next. Here he comes. He is facing the $1 million champion, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, we get a rerun of an angle from Superstars, which I thought was very cute. Austin has refused to face Savio Vega ever again, but accepted a match from the Caribbean Kid.
Oh.
Ooh, that's not suspicious in any way, shape, or form. Ended up losing via a roll-up, and then the Caribbean Kid unmasked to reveal, shocker, Savio Vega.
Oh, my God. Colour me shocked.
Colour me bad. I want to sex you up. But this week, it's definitely Bart Gunn, unless it's Savio Vega wearing a Bart Gunn mask.
You say this at points because Bart Gunn, he's cut his hair and his hair looks like a microphone. He's not got the moustache. He looks a bit in the face like a young Scott Steiner.
Who in turn looks like an old Dave Meltzer.
Exactly, yeah.
Maybe it's Meltz.
It's Meltzer. It's Meltzer versus Gunn. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Now, Bart Gunn, he loves, as well as guns and cowboy shit, he bloody loves a long headlock and catches Austin in a couple as we get underway. Vince reveals on commentary that Ahmed Johnson's thumb was broken in the arm wrestling contest last week. The fucking shoe-in that Bulldog tried to give him with that table. And the only thing that's broken is his fucking thumb.
Good thumb in the mid-card.
He's like,
he's like, oh, you're going to come to Plum Duff King. You can't pull plum out, can you, fuckhead?
Yeah. Good luck having a plum duff. That was my plan all along.
But seeing as I know you and your mate, you can get 5% off. Tell your friends.
Yeah, good luck coming around my house and playing NHL 95 on Mega Drive with a broken thumb.
Yeah.
You won't be able to press pass.
You could be the Boston Bruins. I don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah, I'll give you a Bruins.
Yeah, that's good, that.
That's good, that. What a pro, ladies and gentlemen. What a pro. We've crossed the international punchline there.
No, Tom, you can't play Shinobi.
No, but I like Shinobi.
I don't care, Tom. It's my turn.
Can I come round and play Shinobi? Yeah, Sting, you can.
You can.
Oh, by the way, you're here now and you can't. Oh, no, I've been double-crossed again.
We're only playing Alex Kidd. I don't know where I'm from.
No. Oh, no.
I'm on holiday.
I don't... Is it Miracle World or Shinobi World? Because the Miracle World, whilst it's not a bad game, it's long and a bit tough.
I don't know, I've never got past it.
Bit like the steak I had at Rump King.
You take that back. Tom, were you working? No, it wasn't. It was Keith Hart was.
Yeah, Keith Hart working. I work in nights, Dave.
Yeah.
I work in nights. Vince reveals Armage's thumb is broken. He can't get a plum duff. Poor bastard. Nothing will stop him getting his hands on the bulldog, though, and getting his plum duff. Stick the thumb up your ears. As he speaks.
In terms of tangents, I think that's one of the all-time ones. Isn't
one of my favourites, that is. We're on holiday. As Vince speaks, Austin throws Gunn out of the ring and takes control. He batters him outside the ring as DiBiase encourages him to do more. Austin stops Bart Gunn's momentum as he tries to make a comeback. In the most unusual of ways.
Yeah.
So he sits on the top ring rope as he and Bart are locking up and then kind of does like a slow Spanish fly out of the ring, like pulls him back with him.
That's what I've got written down. It's like a weird rope-assisted Spanish fly.
It felt very deliberate. It didn't feel like Austin like...
Yeah.
Mismoved or something,
but I don't
this
think I've
felt
seen
very
it.
Deliberate.
I don't think I've ever seen it since.
No, I don't think I've ever seen this move since. It was a strange one. He follows it up with the snake eyes and the guardrail as we go into the break. Austin's still in charge when said break returns. Gunn is pushing back. He hits a drop kick. He hits a bad body drop. He gets a bulldog. Gunn gets his foot grabbed by Ted DiBiase that gives Austin a very brief window, but Gunn is trying to counter out of it with a series of roll ups that only gets two, and then. History is made! History is made! Let me talk you through what happens. Bart Gunn puts a sleeper hold on Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's going to get him to tap out, but Austin's got other ideas. He grabs Billy Gunn's head in his arm, kind of creating a C shape from his arm.
Yeah.
He then puts his other arm over the top of his aforementioned arm, wrapping both arms around Bart Gunn's head. Just like that, if you watch on the Patreon, just like that. And then Steve Austin sits on his ass. The momentum bringing Bart Gunn down onto his knees and having his jaw crash with Steve Austin's shoulder.
Mm.
Fuck a duck. That's the Stone Cold Stunner.
A Stone Cold Stunner.
It's a fucking stunner for the first time ever.
Beautiful.
It's Michael Hayes that I believe suggests the stunner for Steve Austin. Because the Million Dollar Dream was fine, but he wanted something with a bit more impact.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was Michael Hayes that suggested the stunner.
Because I'd heard that as well. But the other thing is, when he was in ECW, he wrestled Mikey Whipwreck, whose finisher was the Whippersnapper.
Mm.
So it's probably a bit of both.
So it's almost like he stole it from Mikey Whipwreck.
Maybe. Not saying that he did, but...
Mm.
But yeah, it was a good suggestion.
In the mid-card.
In the yeah, I'd heard that by Michael Hayes, but when I was thinking about it, I was like, well, yeah, you wrestled Mikey, so...
It's the idea of, like, I mean, obviously a stunner is a whippersnapper is a variation on an ace crusher.
Yes.
Slash jawbreaker combo.
Yes.
That proves very successful for Stone Cold Steve Austin and for Mikey Whipwreck.
It's the perfect finisher.
Do you reckon it's the perfect finisher?
Hits it on anyone.
Mm, that's true.
Anyone, even Donald Trump.
Just about
Vince McMahon,
the memory of Vince McMahon,
Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of everyone gets a stunner. Big Show can get a stunner.
Linda
got a stunner. That and the RKO in terms of like finishes that you can do, and the Diamond Cutter.
Yeah,
finishes that you can just do on anyone anywhere.
Yeah,
I think the RKO has more versatility.
Yes,
because the stunner, it's a very Pavlovian. Pleasing move.
Yes.
Because it is the process of the kick, the wham, stunner. Like, it's a very pleasing move to watch in terms of when it's done right, it's the noise of like, boom, boom. Like, it's that rhythm.
A bit like with Jake Roberts in the DDT. Hits the short arm clothesline, everyone knows it's coming. And again, hit the DDT.
And then when he hooks it in, it's like a pull in.
Yeah.
And then a little tap on the back. And it's like, there's like a nice little rhythm to it. Like,
yeah,
which is always nice. And the stunner's got a similar rhythm, which is why it's always been ever so effective. As you say, you can hit it on anybody.
Yeah.
So it starts here. It doesn't get a name check here. It's just a very unique counter to the sleeper. This leads to the Million Dollar Dream being put on and Bart Gunn passing out. Austin wins. Your thoughts?
Another good match.
They went the distance, didn't they?
Bart looked strong. And I thought, oh, this is odd. But then I thought, oh, well, we've got Billy Gunn coming back. They obviously want to keep the Gunns strong in the tag division. So I don't actually... have a problem with Bart Gunn looking all right here. And Austin continues to rack up wins.
Yeah.
So, and fucking stunner.
The fucking stunner.
Stunner.
The debut of the Stone Cold Stunner.
What do you think?
I really liked it. I thought that a bit slow to get going, but once they got the rhythm, then these two got like the lion, like almost got the lion's share of the in-ring action tonight. They got a lot of time.
It was when they were outside the ring as well and Austin was properly putting the boots into him that it was starting to look more Stone Cold than Ringmaster. He was fucking putting the boots into Bart Gunn.
That transmogrification is happening very quick.
Yeah.
Very quick.
Yeah.
After a trailer for In Your House, Good Friends, Better Enemies, we get Vader and Jim Cornette out for a chatteroony in the ring. Cornette talks about Vader ripping through Gorilla Monsoon and Yokozuna last week. Mm. It's then revealed that at In Your House, Vader will face Razor Ramon. Pourquoi?
Hmm.
It's the first time he has been mentioned on TV in well over a month.
Yeah.
Like, he is persona non grata.
But it's just weird because Jim Cornette's going, he's going, oh, I see Vader defeated Monsoon, Yokozuna, and then Razor Ramon. And it was just like, whoa, Razor.
Okay. Cornette says that Razor is the next man to enter the danger zone. Cornette, the Magnificent, looks into his crystal ball and sees Razor's career after April 28th taking a sharp downward spiral. I'd wash your crystal ball, Jim. Mm-hmm. I do like, because again, the company knows they're on the way out.
Yeah.
Wording is crucial here. Yeah, it's gonna be shit when you go to WCW. Basically,
no one's gonna care.
Yeah. Razor Ramon may cease to exist. Razor Ramon has made some very bad career choices. There's some truth bombs from Jim Cornette. Maybe the crystal ball isn't as foggy as we thought. Mm. Cornette says the bad guy oozing machismo will be at Art B's in Mayberry in a quilting society meeting. Right, I dug into this.
Right.
Don't panic.
Yeah, because I heard this and went, what the fuck are you chatting, Jim?
Right, so Art B is a character from the Andy Griffith Show and the spin-off Mayberry RFD. Both of which had ended by the early 70s. So it is a reference to, I believe, the Andy Griffith Show spin-off.
Yeah, because Andy Griffith Show was thingy, wasn't it? Mickey Rooney. Was it Mickey Rooney, Andy Griffith?
I think it was, yeah.
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 So it's a dated reference.
Now I thought that too. And again, I did some bits in this. I said that in 1996... It's probably not that old a reference.
It's probably on syndication, isn't it?
Mm. It would be like somebody in 2022 quoting the Gilmore Girls.
Right, yeah.
In terms of time between the two. It'd be a bit like that, which makes it somewhat more palatable.
Yeah, yeah.
But like you say, it'd be in syndication.
Yeah.
It would, you know. Yeah, I imagine people who are watching Raw at this time may have caught old episodes of the Andy Griffith Show late at night or Mayberry.
People in 2022 watching Friends.
Which we talked about the other day. Which you're very livid about.
I didn't need an excuse to be livid about anything.
No one told you life was going to be this way.
I lost all sense of rhythm there.
You really did. Great promo by Cornette, I thought, who warns us that he bred and manipulated Vader, but not even he could fully control him. And then we get a reminder that it is Vader time. What do you mean? We're already clean. Scrub, scrub, scrub till the water's brown.
Quarter past day.
It's Vader on my tray.
Vader everywhere.
Chicken on my tray. Chicken everywhere. Yeah, so, thoughts on Vader and Jim having a chinwag?
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Cornette's got the gift of the gab. But that last bit where he's saying that Vader's an unhinged monster and even he can't control him, I wanted Cornette to show a bit more fear because that's what I've liked after Vader battered Monsoon and Cornette was in the back and even he looked a bit scared of him, like, ah, oh, shit, what have I done kind of thing. But, yeah, in terms of continually building up Vader as this monster, you've had him batter Monsoon, you've had him take Yoko out of action. If you have him send Scott Hall to Atlanta, it's going to make him look superb.
Yeah, absolutely is, yeah. So we get a video package about Sunny, just some clips of all the sultry things she's been doing over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Just, again, just getting her over. I guess she's for people hopping the channels, to see Sunny kind of... being a bit rude with the pool cue.
Yeah.
Having a nice little bath. Lying on the beach.
I never want to be lecherous on this podcast, but she was absolutely gorgeous
she
in 1996.
She was cheddar gorgeous at this point.
Say no to drugs.
That's a very Southwest England reference there. You're very welcome. Cheddar gorgeous. Main event o'clock already, kids. You're damn right. I'm over. Is it main event o'clock yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. So this is the last match of the night, and then we've got a segment to end the night on.
Yeah.
Because we're still waiting to hear from Bret Hart in Bonn. Will he say bon appetit at the end of his dinner? We'll find out. It's Savio Vega versus Goldust for the Intercontinental title. Of course, Goldust's championship hanging in the balance right now because he got injured in Dusseldorf, as you said earlier.
Yeah.
But in the sort of the canon of Raw at the moment, he's fine.
Yeah.
So he's wrestling fine here. The stars of Pacific Blue are hosting a night of USA original programming. Rick Rossovich and Jim Davidson, not that Jim Davidson, will be hosting the night of new programs according to Vince and Jerry.
Stand up, the national anthem's playing. Right, thank you.
Up the elephant round the castle. it's not, when my ears just went, is it Jim Davidson? I was like, What? Big Break. Mm. The racist from Big Break.
Next week on Raw, John Fergo.
Oh my God. John Fergo is guest Raw general manager. Fucking teaching Sheamus a trick shot. Fuck yes. You absolute cowards. Why didn't you do it?
What you want to do is you want to strike it softly so it goes around the red, hits the pink, hits that into the vase, and then straight in the pocket.
Actually, it'd be Santi and... Hey, John Navarro, I'll teach me how to do a trigger shot! And he gets it wrong, and he ends up having a fucking match with Vladimir Kozlov, probably. Mm. That was the guest general manager era of the WWE. Coming to the Classic Raw Review, providing I'm not dead. When we get there, if not, it'll be you and, I don't know, my son.
What makes you think I'll be alive?
That's true. It'll be our cats doing it. I think Pat...
I was going to say, in mourning, just eating nothing but biscuits and sugar.
It's what he would have wanted.
It's like he's in the room.
It's what he would have wanted. And that's what I want you to all do at my funeral. Thank you. We get a recap of Goldust and Warrior's showdown from last week. Warrior getting sweary was excelente.
And it was a ratings hit, so I don't blame them for doing it again.
Goldust comes close to licking Savio Vega's face. Vega responds with a rude fist gesture.
Yeah, just tells him to fuck off.
What's the origin of the old fuck off?
I don't know.
Like the fist, like with the... A bit like how Santino Marella would do the Cobra, whereby he'd thump his inner arm, his inner elbow, to pull the arm up, and there'd be a fist.
It's also the... Is it Spaceballs, the interplanetary greeting?
Ah, that's what he was doing.
Yeah, he was saying hello. He was saying hello to Mel Brooks. Friend of the show, Mel Brooks.
Friend of the show, Mel Brooks.
But yeah, I don't know where it comes from, but it basically just means fuck off, really, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. Savio Vega, not happy by being groped by Goldust in a lockup, or happy about getting twerked on in the corner.
Mm.
Man games. They ponder on commentary if Goldust is a boxers or briefs guy. Which are you?
Boxers.
I'm boxers too.
But it needs to be a specific type.
What sort of specific type?
So it's got to be a tight boxer, but it's going to have a long leg so it doesn't ride up.
That's clever, that. Mm. I've got, I'm not too fussy about boxers and stuff, but I have got one pair, which I wear as often as I can.
Just one pair?
I've just got the one pair. I'll turn them inside out when the time gets tough.
I'm back to front.
For my birthday about 2 years ago, Alex bought me a pair of boxers, which he'd had her face, like, put on them. So, like, they're custom-made boxers with her face all over them.
Yeah.
And they're really comfy. So I wear them quite often. And then she'll see me getting ready for work, and she'll go, I feel weird that you still wear those. It's like they're, like, in circulation with your underpants. She's like, they're comfy.
Yeah.
And it stops ladies from coming at me. I'm going to wear them in Cardiff. Yeah. So if anybody gets fresh, I can drop my trousers and go, I'm taken.
Don't get fresh with this, man.
Do not get fresh with me. Whatever you do. Unless you've had a shower, in which case you're fresh already. Vega pushes through the mind games.
Mind games.
Hits a side slam to take control. He gives Goldust a spank for good measure. Lawler asks if Savio thinks he's Spanky from the Little Rascals. Vince makes a mental note that a Little Rascals crossover gimmick would be a good idea in 2022. Butch.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah. Still a joke there. A stun gun puts Goldust back in charge, as does a camel clutch. Lawler refers to Vega as burrito breath. Oh, great. That's lovely.
That's not cool.
He asks if Goldust and Marlino do their own tax returns. He's really scraping the barrel for Bance. It's tax deadline day when this goes out. So I guess that they're being topical.
Yeah.
Goldust gets on the microphone. This is great. So Goldust is winning here, but like he gets sick of the crowd. So he stops to get the microphone and tells the crowd, if they don't shut up, he'll come out there and kiss every single one of them.
It was odd because surely you should think a kiss from him is a gift. But also, this wasn't Goldust. This was Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah.
He just dropped the character and just went, hey, everyone shut up.
Shut up or I'll give you a kiss.
But it worked in getting Heath.
Oh, they hated him.
Yeah.
They booed more, which made me think they really want kisses.
Yeah.
Ooh, that would be awful. Boo. Oh, don't come and kiss me, naughty boy. It gives Vega an opening to get a kiss and get back into the match. Goldust gets a cheap shot and teabags Savio Vega.
No.
Only for it to get countered with a roll-up for a two. Goldust's top rope move, whatever it was going to be, was stopped by Vega with a savat kick, followed by a superplex. However, Goldust counters with two headbutts and a kiss. The kiss sends Savio Vega, like, flying across the ring.
Oh, it does.
Now, it's either, like, a super powerful kiss that has like a wind sort of like turbine type effect. Or Savio Vega is such a homophobe, he has to literally launch himself away from anything that might be misconstrued as man-on-man love action.
Ooh.
Like he literally launches himself away.
Who was it in Mortal Kombat whose face, was it Melina or Katana, with gave a kiss and
the whole face would melt.
Yeah, or blow up or some shit.
So maybe he thought he was playing Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And he was worried that the kiss would blow his whole face up.
And Vince McMahon called it a bite. He's like, oh, he bit him. And Laurie's like, oh, he didn't bite him, did he?
It wasn't. It was definitely a kiss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Final flurry by Vega as we go into the commercial break. He runs at Goldust, inadvertently knocks the ref down. Marlena hands Goldust the Intercontinental title. Twice he goes for a cheap shot, twice he gets a savate kick, a la Shawn Michaels' finish on Jerry Lawler from Raw last week.
I'm just pissed off at Earl Hebner fucking standing in the fucking way of a man running the ropes and getting knocked down.
Yeah,
it's almost like he's a shite ref. Dying on this hill.
Savio Vega now grabs the IC title and clatters Goldust with it. Earl Hebner is up just in time to see a three count with Vega on top. Savio Vega is the new Intercontinental Champion!
Or is he?
Tim White, who was the other ref involved in this, talks to Earl Hebner, says that Savio Vega cheated by hitting Goldust with the title. And that is a fair shout.
Yeah.
He did cheat. They both cheated. One attempted to cheat, one did cheat.
Fair fucks to Savio, though. I like the fact that he wasn't the babyface. Like, oh, I shouldn't do this. She's like, no, I've got an opening here. I'm going to twat him.
I hate him. Bang.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Gorilla Monsoon heads out to clean this whole mess up. Sadly, he doesn't get into the ring and break both his quads like Vince did that time. Fink gets the ruling from Gorilla Monsoon that Goldust is stripped of the Intercontinental title. And the championship is declared vacant, with a rematch taking place next week between Vega and Goldust.
Yeah.
Hey, what was the point of this?
Monsoon is as shit as being an official as Earl Hebner is as being a referee. it was nonsensical. But
this was unfair to Goldust.
It was unfair to Goldust. Because I put it, why did Goldie get stripped? On what grounds did he get stripped? But I understand the market employee, tune in next week, there'll definitely be a new champion.
Mm.
But the logic of wrestling, which WWF just like to just play fast and loose with, it didn't make any sense.
No.
No sense at all.
No, because Goldust technically hadn't done anything wrong in that match. He was was he about to? Well, yeah, at one point, yeah. But did he? No.
No.
No cheating.
No.
It wasn't even like he knocked the ref down.
No.
Like, didn't do any cheating.
That was Earl's fault.
He is an innocent man. Right, our final segment of the night. What is next for Bret the Hitman Hart? So, we get footage from WrestleMania 12 of Bret walking through the gorilla position. Give yourself 10 points if you spotted Bruce Pritchard.
That's the only person I saw, yeah. He's like, good. Nice one, Bret.
Well done. Ray Rougeau was there too.
I didn't see Ray Rougeau.
As he walks past Gorilla, you see Ray Rougeau kind of go, hey, Bret. gives Brett a little nod. Brett gets back to his locker room, shouts at the camera crew to get out. He doesn't even shower post-match. He has his bag, he gets in his car and says, quote, I'm going to fuck off for a while. They bleep out the fuck. But he, and I rewound it. So did he say piss? Did he say fuck? He said, I definitely said, I'm going
to
fuck off.
Yeah, I rewound it too. It's real to him, isn't it?
Yeah, it's real to us now. This is showing gorilla position and all that. Interesting little assignment. Mm. On the banks of the River Rhine in Germany, Bret Hart speaks to gathered press. He says that the match wasn't beneficial to him, saying it wasn't a 60-minute match as promised. It was actually a 62-minute match, and that's his problem. He said he waited for Shawn to make a mistake, as he does, and when he did, he would have won. He said Shawn was never going to escape the sharpshooter, and they rang the bell, so Bret released the hold.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, he never escaped. The time ran out. I caught him in a sharpshooter. He couldn't get out of it. If they were that hell-bent on doing overtime, they should have started the overtime immediately, but they didn't. He says the 3 minutes between the end of the match and the start of the overtime was where he made his mistake. So Bret was quite grumpy about the match. Mm. Bret says working for another wrestling organization would be a step down, even if they are throwing money around at the moment. He makes it clear he's not greedy for money. He is greedy for respect. Quote, the only place I'll ever get respect is the World Wrestling Federation. He says he feels betrayed and doesn't have a yearning to come back, but he does want a title shot. Oh, Bret, if only you knew.
Hopefully there'll be a good official for if he does come back and has a title shot. Oh, no, wait, it's going to be L fucking Hep. Bret moans
all the time.
But he has a point, though. He has a point.
He does, but...
He does. He comes across as a big fucking heel here, but
you know when you work somewhere and there's always that guy that always complains about something really shitty in the office. Like, it'd be something like, oh, like, the thing is, I've got an hour lunch break, but it takes me 4 minutes to get to buy my lunch. So really, I should have that 4 minutes added on at the end because that's not technically starting my lunch break. Plus, someone came in and asked me a question about work, so I should have that 30 seconds added on. He's one of them in the office. He's Oh, I feel like if I worked with him at HMV, he'd just drag the mood down.
Yeah, but he's the best. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but, being the best there is, there was, and will be doesn't excuse you from being a miserable sod.
After the bollocks that just went down with Gorilla Monsoon saying, oh, Goldust, your strip, blah, 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 Brett can just be like, look at the officiating. That's shit.
Yeah,
it's a shit show. But, yeah, do you want a little Observer bit?
I'd love a bit of Observer.
So WWF sources claim it's not a question of whether Bret Hart will return, only when he'll return. Those close to Hart say that after the Q8 tour in May, there is a possibility he won't come back, and that has nothing to do with acting opportunities, and Bret hasn't made a decision on his future yet. This is a weird situation because they are working the WWF storyline around reality. Hart legitimately was mad about dropping the title to Shawn Michaels. You don't say. And wasn't secretive in regards to his thoughts that Michaels didn't have the maturity for the position. True. However, things like Hart not shaking hands or storming out the building after Mania match, they were all 100% storyline. Not Bret, probably. There is also a possibility, in order to get him back when the time is right, that the WWF will let him take the belt again and work a lengthy program with Michaels with the belt bouncing around, which would be a compromise both sides would likely agree to.
One of those suggestions that I read in the Observer was for SummerSlam.
Yes.
A Bret versus Shawn ladder match.
Mm.
However, at the moment, that's not set in stone.
No.
Bret Hart did a column in the Calgary Sun.
Was it actually him this time, or was it Bruce or Keith or Smith?
Keith forging his handwriting. Where I go from here is undetermined. I could consider ending what has been an illustrious career, or I could regroup with my worldwide following of loyal fans to charge and storm the castle once more. To be a four-time WWF world champion has a compelling ring to it, but I admit that coming home for good sounds more compelling to me right now. I will take some well-deserved time off and decide my future in the future. Now, Hart rarely breaks storyline in his columns. Mm. He did say, as kind of we reiterated here, he doesn't like Shawn Michaels being a role model for small kids. He says that somebody should ask why Michaels was beaten up in Syracuse, suggesting that it was because a lot of time Michaels is a bit of a jerk. He also had a few digs to give it towards the Ultimate Warrior, saying he received a tremendous response, but said Warrior was more tired after his match than Brett was after going 62 minutes. Quote, Warrior will fade fast, especially if he hasn't learned any more than throwing clotheslines and shaking the ropes. But hey, he looks great. Fucking hell, Brett. Big star making a comeback. And Brett goes, yeah, well, he was tired and he shit, but hey, he looked good.
I did not hear any word of lie.
No Hart lies detected.
For anything he said.
No lies detected.
He's like, oh, sure, Michael's a bit of a cunt. He's not mature. It's like, yeah. He's like, oh, all but Warrior's a bit shit and gassed. He's like, yeah.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with him.
I know, but I'm pushing the agenda,
this is
Tom.
The nature of toeing the line a little bit, which Brett doesn't do.
No.
So it ends, yeah, so Raw ends really suddenly with him just kind of sort of saying, I want to come back. I might come back and maybe get a title shot.
Mm.
And then it just sort of fades to black and that's Raw.
Yeah.
Real sudden fade. But nice thing to hang people around for.
And it's a good way to end it because going into Mania and coming out of it, the endings have been a bit weird. When it wasn't the billionaire Ted stuff, it would just be like cutting to Vince. It's like, oh, next week, what about it? It's like that. It feels like the family figuring, oh, if we end on like a cliffhanger and something noteworthy, then people won't go to WCW for the last 10 minutes.
Mm.
But yeah.
If we kind of make it feel like it's not quite ending,
yeah,
then people might stay.
Well, people still do that. You keep watching until you see the little copyright WWF 1996, blah, 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 blah.
There's a rule I was taught in radio called, it was the Gloria Gaynor rule, which never can say goodbye. I'm always encouraged to never say goodbye at the end of a radio show.
Yeah.
So if you ever listen, I'll always kind of go, I'll mention who's up next, and I'll go, oh, big tune on the way from them and them, and it's this, right now it's this. And that'll probably be my last link.
Yeah.
So I'll never go, bye, thanks, see you tomorrow. Because it's the idea being that if you're saying goodbye, then people will then go away. Whereas if you kind of leave it sort of ambiguous and just go, hey, so-and-so's doing this next, stay for that.
Yeah.
People carry on.
Talking of which, when is Love You Ambiguous Fridays coming back?
Love You When Fridays? The world may never know. But this is the part where we nearly sign off from the podcast. What do we make of Raw this week? A big, big boots to fill from last time.
It was another good episode. It was more wrestling heavy.
Mm.
It was just basically chock full of action. Like we were saying last week, the building storylines, well,
yeah.
Still no sign of Taker on TV apart from the Mankind thing. So they are... Even though it's from the same tapings, but they're playing it as, oh, fuck, he's been taken out, not mentioning him or anything.
Yeah, 2 weeks, I've not seen anything.
And the added spice of Brett, it was good running thread throughout the show. It's like, Brett's coming up. We haven't seen Brett. People like Brett. Let's hear from Brett and tell people to get out. Get out. Get out.
Get out.
And the IC title bollocks is a good hook for next week.
It is, yeah. Whether or not it's the right hook, it certainly is our hook for next week.
Your thoughts compared to last week and just in general?
I enjoyed the show. I thought it's nice to, again, it's nice to see these little moments in Raw history where you see a bit of history built.
Yeah.
First time we see a stunner.
Yeah.
That's cool. I thought it was about Vega and Goldust actually had a decent enough match together
as
a main.
It, yeah.
The Brett stuff is compelling. It's a little bit laced in real,
yeah,
which they're not doing much of at the moment, so it's a bit real.
So you got a bit of reality. It's getting more violent. You got Vince saying, oh, don't you want to have relations with Sable and Sonny? Last week you had Ultimate Warrior saying shit. This week you had Bret Hart saying fuck off. It's getting a bit spicy.
It's still a bit crap, but it's nearly the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
So I want to call it the Prattitude Era.
This is a polished turd. It's a bit crap, but it's good.
The polished turd era.
Yeah.
I like it. And from us polished turds to you, this has been a lovely episode of the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review. In terms of when the next one will be, I think we'll take a short break.
Are we on holiday?
We're on holiday now.
We're on holiday now. We haven't mentioned it.
We haven't mentioned it at all.
Fucking wait.
So chances are you may not have a classic Raw review for 2 weeks. I think then we're back proper.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's about 2 weeks. So thank you for your support all the same. It's been a lovely time. Sorry we couldn't fill the gap any more than we have, but at least we're telling you now to enjoy the next 2 weeks without us.
Mm.
Don't miss day. Don't go too far. Because we'll be back before you know it. And we'll have loads of holiday stories to tell
when
we come back. The preamble will be about 2 hours. So that'll be good. So until we're next, back together. Here's at Brad Atkins on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together we're at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. Oh, could you transfer? I could play Alex Kidd in Shinobi World League.
Davey. I'm not Davy, I'm Sting.
No, I'm talking to Davy. It's me.
Oh, okay, Davy's over there.
It's me, Diana Hart.
Davy, I wasn't expecting Diana Hart.
I want to play Altered Beast. Let me play Altered Beast.
That's a hook for next time. More Diana Hart Smith. Davy, man.
Get me on a plane.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.